Rodney Greenblatt from Catskill, and you're listening to WGXC Acra 90.7 FM.
Network, this is the news. This is the network. This is the news. This is the network. Network.
I'm Tom Rowan Acker, and you've tuned into the WGXC Morning Show. Stay tuned today. We're going to hear from Jenny Getty and Amanda Lees from the Dim Lights program with some local movie previews. They'll tell us where the Taylor Swift movie is playing this weekend. We'll also hear from some other WGXC programmers, brand new programmers on the station. Tepper, who's doing a food segment, and Ariel and Gloria, who are doing a bilingual segment. And these are all reasons you might want to donate during WGXC's Fall Pledge Drive. Go to WGXC.org/donate to help keep a variety of voices on the radio at 90.7 FM, the one frequency on the dial that's actually open to the public, even though the airwaves are public airwaves. WGXC believes wholeheartedly in the fact that 90.7 FM is a public airwave and tries to get as many different voices on the radio as possible to represent all different parts of the community and give all different parts of the community a say in their community and in the local media landscape. Please make a pledge today at WGXC.org/donate or call 518-697-7400 to help keep creative community solar-powered radio on the air at 90.7 FM.
This is the network. This is the news. This is the network. Network. This is the news.
Wave Farms Art Park is now open on Saturdays. Drop in for unannounced guided tours on Saturdays from noon to 6 p.m. or book a tour in advance on other days. Wave Farms' 29-acre campus in Acre is the home of the Art Park with 13 installations in the Study Center, the WGXC Acre Studio, and the Wave Farms International Artist Residency Program. Visitors on Saturdays receive a guided tour of the campus. Admission is free and tours typically last 60 to 90 minutes. Again, on Saturdays, Wave Farms Art Park is open for drop-in visits anytime from noon to 6 p.m. from June through October. Stop by Wave Farm on Saturdays from noon to 6 p.m.
WGXC underwriting support is provided in part by Upstate Films, where membership provides access to world-class cinema, first-run feature films, art house films, live music, and more. Plus, advance notice of close-up conversations with directors and actors and other special events at the Star Theater in Rhinebeck, the Orpheum in Socrates, and traveling around the Hudson Valley. Information at upstatefilms.org/support. That's upstatefilms.org.
WGXC is made possible in part by the generous ongoing support of Sean Mooney of Brooklyn, New York. WGXC's sustaining supporters are among the station's most dedicated listeners. They care deeply about creative community radio, and their investment helps to sustain WGXC as a public platform for information, experimentation, and engagement in Greene and Columbia counties. You too can become a sustaining supporter by going to wgxc.org/donate. Thank you for your support.
I'm Tom Rowe at Wave Farm with the WGXC Daily News for Wednesday, October 11th. Go to the WGXC newsroom at wgxc.org for more information about any of these stories. Liz Montgomery reports for Porcupine Soup that Greene County's tourism center has been demolished. The center is switching spots with a Stewart's shop as part of a redevelopment project near the interstate highway exit in Catskill. For now, the county's tourism department and staff have moved to the county office building on Main Street in Catskill. Deputy County Administrator of Economic Development, Tourism, and Planning Warren Hart said, quote, "The Tourism Visitor Center is a heavily used building, and the rework of the traffic pattern on both sides of Route 23B will make going to and from all of these locations safer and easier," unquote. A 92-room Hampton Inn Hotel is also expected to go into the area that the Greene County Industrial Development Agency is calling the Greene Gateway Commercial Park. Read more about the story at Porcupine Soup. Brenda J. Lyons reports in the Times Union that state police are continuing to hide disciplinary records from public view, this time in a court battle with the New York Civil Liberties Union. The nonprofit group has filed a petition in state Supreme Court in Albany to order the state police to disclose the names of troopers and investigators in disciplinary cases that involved misconduct complaints that the agency determined were unsubstantiated. In 2020, the state legislature repealed a statute that had prevented the release of those state police disciplinary records for 44 years in New York. Bobby Hodgson, a supervising attorney at the NYCLU, said, quote, "Our initial analysis of the state police's misconduct records exposed a massive number of misconduct investigations and uses of force, but that analysis was hindered by the department's pervasive inappropriate redactions. By keeping officer names secret, the state police is preventing New Yorkers from having a more comprehensive understanding of systemic issues and possible patterns of officer misconduct. After the repeal of 50A, the law specifically mandates the disclosure of officer names as part of its promise to bring full transparency to law enforcement records," unquote. Read more about this story in the Times Union. Mid-Hudson News reports that Republican Representative Mark Molinaro was back in Dutchess County on October 10th celebrating the new jail there that he helped get built. Molinaro campaigned for his former role as Dutchess County executive on building a better county jail. Molinaro said, quote, "Today, the goal we set 11 years ago has been met. Dutchess County now has a modern facility with the needed space to expand the county's nationally renowned alternatives to incarceration and restorative justice programs, increasing public safety and delivering savings to taxpayers," unquote. The new jail has 328 beds, far more than the new Greene County Jail. Read more about the story at Mid-Hudson News. And Mid-Hudson News reports that Allison Esposito announced on October 10th that she would run for the Republican nomination for Congress in New York's 18th District next year. That seat is currently held by Democrat Pat Ryan. Esposito lost in a bid for lieutenant governor last year with the also unsuccessful Republican gubernatorial candidate Lee Zeldin. Until recently, Esposito listed her address as New York City, but now says she is a resident of Goshen. She was born in Highland Mills. She had a 25-year career with the New York Police Department before her recent efforts in politics. Esposito sounded familiar conservative Republican themes in her opening statement, saying, quote, "President Biden and his allies in Congress have left our nation a shell of its former self. Our southern border is non-existent. Inflation has left families choosing between gas and groceries, and we have relinquished our standing on the world stage. Right now, the Hudson Valley is represented by a defender of President Biden's failed policies. Instead of fighting for everyday hardworking families, our representative is fighting for his own self-interest," unquote. Read more about this story in Mid-Hudson News. And read more about any of these stories in the WGXC newsroom, wgxc.org.
Hello and welcome to the better weather for Wednesday, October 11th. Local early morning temperatures range from 44 degrees in Medusa to 48 in Kinderhook. Regional average soil temperature is 57 degrees. Snow is expected to fall today about 1,700 miles away south of Boulder, Colorado. Over here, though, not so bad. A little early morning fog clears out by 9 a.m. Things will be wet after some early morning light rain, but that should all dry out. This afternoon will be cool due to winds becoming moderate and a high temperature of 65 degrees at 3 p.m. Skies should end the day a bit more sunny than cloudy. Overnight, we dip to 44 degrees. Tomorrow will be dry, cool with a high of 64 degrees at 3 p.m. Overnight, we see 44 degrees. Then Friday should be dry and sunny with a high of 61. Saturday, rain, high of only 51. Today's tide schedule is high tide at 1:24 a.m., low tide at 7:59 a.m., high tide again at 1:56 p.m., and low tide once again at 8:08 p.m. Today's river temperature will be 61 degrees and the tide strength will be high. Sunset today will be at 6:01 p.m. Sunrise tomorrow will be at 6:59 a.m. Looking way up, we see what's called a co-rotating interaction region, collision. The reality is, it's a plasma ribbon extending from the sun and we're about to dip into it. Magnetic storms could spike, bringing currently unexpected auroras, so keep an eye out. For most intents and purposes, it is very similar to a Hadouken strike. X-class flare chances will be at 5%. Plasma winds will be slow at 280 kilometers per second with a thin density of less than 1 proton per cubic centimeter. Radio propagation conditions are currently fair below 8 MHz till dark, then fair across the board overnight. There are no chances officially for aurora this evening. The current sunspot number is 120. And this has been the Better Weather, brought to you by the Catskill Maker Syndicate. And you know what? Let's be honest. You're here because we got what the others don't. Local voices, foreign noises, and don't forget voting choices. So come on down to WGXC.org. Hitting that donate button gets you in that hall of fame and the best deal ever. Feeling good because you did some good.
This is Central Control. We have the entire area under electronic surveillance. In addition to closed-circuit TV scanners, we have directional microphones in every room.
Welcome to Dim the Lights with Jenny and Amanda. I'm Amanda.
I'm Jenny.
Thank you so much for tuning in tonight to WGXC 90.7 FM ACRA. We got to talk about this wonderful station.
Oh, we really do. If you haven't heard, it's the WGXC Fall Pledge Drive. How exciting.
Yes. We're trying to reach $5,000 in monthly sustaining supporters.
Supporters, yes. Which is, so for the radio to continue working the way it is, which is with a physical antenna, with all of these incredible voices on the radio who are not paid, we're all volunteer programmers, just to keep us moving, we're just looking for a couple of people a month to provide just a couple bucks every month, something like $5, $10. You could even do $1 a month if that's what works for you, just to keep this whole thing moving, which is such a wonderful resource for this area. We have local news in the mornings. WGXC plays Democracy Now. We have all of our, anybody who wants a radio show can have one to make their voice heard. Anyone who has something they'd like to say can call in to WGXC and record a message to be played over the airwaves. It's like such a special and unique space that we have here that not a lot of them still exist.
It's true. Part of this pledge drive, they've been playing a lot of old broadcasts. And the other day I tuned into 90.7 FM. And I caught a bit of the very first broadcast of WGXC, which was great. And then a couple of people being interviewed for NPR around the time that WGXC came on the airwaves. And a big reason for them starting it, or people getting behind this project, was so that there was actually access to local news. It's hard to find where we are. No one's really throwing a local newspaper on your doorstep necessarily. So like Jenny said, it is an incredible resource for local news. And that's only one of the wonderful things that this station can do for the area. We want to stay on the airwaves.
We really love
having our show.
Both of us are monthly sustaining supporters because we believe in the radio so much that we ourselves throw our hats in the ring. We love being programmers, but we also love having access to what we hear on the radio.
Mm-hmm.
Like Amanda said, I feel like I get most of my local news from WGXC. Like, you know, there's some stuff you can get on the internet, some stuff you can get on the papers, but all of my most up-to-date information pretty much always comes from me tuning into 90.7 and hearing what's going on. And it's like, it's such a special and wonderful thing that we get to have.
Exactly. And also, amazing shows from other local stations are syndicated on this one and vice versa. So you get to hear shows out of stations in Kingston or Great Barrington, Massachusetts.
Some Albany too, like WOOC. We get a lot of
It's so nice to have it. And the reason we need donations regularly is because a lot of other stations are owned by large corporations like iHeartRadio. They don't need the help that we do to stay on the airwaves. And the people who make WGXC run do so on a very, very small budget. They're not really getting paid or at least if they are, they're not getting paid as much as they deserve, because this is a vital business to be in and to be making happening. But it's not. We need more money.
Yeah, a true shoestring budget. So if you value what you hear here on WGXE 90.7 FM online, or if you are local and you're listening to it on the radio, if you have the cash, throw a couple bucks in our bucket. You know, it's one of those things where it can be as simple as $5 a month if that's something that you have access to. Or if you only have time or the ability to do like a one-time donation, that's also, any amount is always welcomed. Obviously, sustaining donors help to keep it on, like keep the radio going on forever, mm-hmm. as long as possible. Mm-hmm. And so that's always what we prefer. But if you just have like an extra $20 this month that you don't think you're going to have next month, throw that this way too.
Throw it in the pot.
Yeah. It's, so what you can do is you can head on over to WGXE.org/donate.
Yes.
So simple.
If you're new to the area too, we encourage you to donate. This is there's a lot of amazing organizations locally that you should be donating to. And this is one of them. So it's a great way to be a part of the community.
Yeah.
If you're new or not, but if you're new to the area, please definitely consider becoming a monthly sustaining supporter. Like Jenny said, $5 a month at the lowest, but really a lot of us are paying more than that a month for services that we don't really use that much. And even if you don't listen to WGXC every day, that money goes a long way to keeping an incredible resource alive and well in our area.
It really does. I know there's a lot of things you donate to where you're like, where's this actually going? But yeah. WGXC is very clearly like, we are operating on very little. It's just keeping the lights on, basically.
Yeah.
And it's a really easy way to feel like you're a part of your community, contribute to the kind of community you'd like to see, which is local voices. You know, we call it radio for open ears, and that is what it is. It's like anybody who wants a show can have a show. Anybody who wants to have their voice heard can have their voice heard. It's not owned by corporate interests. Like WGXC is so free to kind of say whatever and express the opinions of the people who actually live here and have thoughts and feelings and want to talk about what's going on with them. And
absolutely.
It's just a really easy way to be a part of that.
Yeah.
So if you're interested, and I hope you are, if you're listening, you want to head on over, baby, to WGXC.org/donate.
Yes. And donate the amount of your choosing.
Yeah.
Again, also when I came across that broadcast about the very start of WGXC, another big idea behind it, you know, local news, but also hearing different opinions instead of, again, like the opinions generally held by whatever parent company is running the station. We value hearing opinions from all across the spectrum. It's welcomed, and it's nice to be able to have that as well, to truly understand how the temperature of your community and all of its variants.
Yeah, absolutely. Like a place where there is actually a democratized
a
level of opinions. Like you hear actually what everybody has to say here on WGXE. And I think that's really beautiful.
Yeah. You want to be a punk for real?
Yeah. You want to actually be a punk?
You want to be a punk for real out there,
punk?
You want
to be a punk for real? Come on, man.
Donate to WGXE.
That's actually punk, baby.
Yeah, exactly. WGXE.org/donate.
Come on. Send those ducats in, baby. We need them.
You can also call to pledge an amount. You can call 518-697-7400. That's 7400. That number again is area code 518-697-7400. Pledge an amount today. Become a sustaining supporter. We love you for it. Because again, we want to keep being on the airwaves. How long have we been on the airwaves, Jenny?
Oh, it's been about 3 years now. Isn't that crazy?
It is. Time sure flies when you're having fun.
Yeah.
On the airwaves with your best buddy. Our Instagram is at Dim the Lights with Jenny and Amanda, the name of our show, no spaces or underscores or anything like that. So DM us at Dim the Lights with Jenny and Amanda. We're going to tell you about what is playing in the theaters locally. I can start off here
Take us away.
Well, check out the Highway Drive-In, which is still open. Yes. So our other local drive-in in our radius is the Greenville Drive-In. They are closed for the season. But we still have the Highway Drive-In in Coxsackie open. And on Screen One, so these are the show times. They're open through Friday through Sunday. And so the show times for this weekend, we have on Screen One, the Taylor Swift, The Eras Tour concert film. It's playing all night.
Yep. You can see it twice, baby.
I also hear that tickets for that are limited. So
yes.
Please.
You want to order them in advance if you're interested.
Exactly. Screen Two, we have Hocus Pocus and Practical Magic.
Yay, so cute.
Screen Three, we have Saw X and The Nun 2. And Screen Four, we have The Exorcist, Believer, and The Creator. You can find out more about show times and titles and prices and all that at highwaydrivein.com. That's H-I-W-A-Y drivein.com.
All right. Now I'm going to tell you it's playing over at the Crandall Theater in Chatham. For the upcoming this week and next week, we have Jules, Minions, A Haunting in Venice, Stop Making Sense, Vermeer, The Greatest Exhibition, and Film Columbia 2023 Kickoff Party. So if you're interested in any of those things, you can head on over to crandalltheater.org to find out the show times and any more information that you might need.
Amazing. All right, next we're going to go up the mountain, and I'm going to tell you about what's at the Wyndham Theater. We have Taylor Swift, The Eras Tour, and The Exorcist, Believer. You can find out more about showtimes at WyndhamTheater.com. That's spelled W-I-N-D-H-A-M theater.com.
All right. Now I'm going to tell you about what's playing at the Upstate Films locations, starting with the Star Cinema, which is the one in Rhinebeck. We have Close Up, She Came to Me, with director Rebecca Miller. We have Taylor Swift, The Eras Tour. There's also just She Came to Me without the director's commentary, if you're interested in that. In a Lonely Place, Out of the Past, Piaf, The Royal Hotel, Scrapper, The Interview, and Close Up, Radical Wolf, with editor Brian Gersten. And then heading on over to the Orpheum, which is the upstate location in Saugerties, we have The Creator, Stop Making Sense, Joan Baez, I Am a Noise, Taylor Swift, The Eras Tour, Hour of the Wolf, The Others, which I would love to see in a theater. Thrilling.
And that's playing at
It's upstate. Playing at Upstate in Saugerties, yes. We also have Harry Smith's Early Abstractions with Live Soundtrack, Dumb Money, and Hypnosis, Squaring the Circle. And that's H-I-P-G-N-O-S-I-S for those who know. I don't know.
But, I don't know either.
But somebody probably does. And if you want to know about those specific show times, you can head on over to upstatefilms.org.
Amazing. So the last theater that I have to tell you about is the Spotlight Theater in Hudson, which is the 8-screen theater that's on Fairview Avenue here in Hudson. And I went to their website to pull up the show times, as I usually do, and it says the Hudson, New York location is closed today to make way for the new owners.
Whoa! At Spotlight?
At Spotlight.
Oh, my goodness.
So this is news to me. Now it's the news that's fit to say over the airwaves. I do not know anything about the new owners, but
wow.
I'm sorry that I'm not prepared with the information that you need, but... So the Spotlight looks like it's still going to be a theater, but it has new owners. You can check in on the news about them at spotlightcinemas.com.
Wow. Just in time. I'm trying to remember what it's called. The other theater on Fairview also just reopened. The one that used to be for the old heads, the Fairview 3, the one that was staffed by the ghosts.
It was staffed by ghosts.
By ghosts.
Yeah.
And then briefly was like a dinner theater. They reopened and I think it's called the Madison Theater now.
Oh, I've heard of the Madison.
Friends of the show, Chuck and Ellen, went and they said it was great. So we'll have to.
Madison also in Albany? Is that
maybe it's a chain.
Theater.
Oh,
I think it's a chain.
I haven't looked into it yet, but that one's also up and running, so something to think about, you know, if you want to go see a movie on Fairview, but Spotlight's closed. All right, but first, I don't know anything about that. So I'm just going to tell you about what's playing at TSL, which is in Hudson proper, as we all know. So they have been doing a special director's movie series for the last couple of weeks. And now we're on to Fassbinder. So it's three movies. We have Ali, Fear Eats the Soul, The Marriage of Maria Braun, and Lola. And if you're interested in any of those movies, which are from the 70s and 80s, if you're not familiar with Fassbinder, you can head on over to timeandspace.org to find out about their specific showtimes and any other information you'd like to know about their ongoing special director's movie series.
Gorgeous. Gorgeous. Gorgeous.
Wow.
Welcome to 2023 Talks, where we're following our democracy in historic times.
You know, there are moments in this life, and I mean this literally, when the pure, unadulterated evil is unleashed on this world. The people of Israel lived through one such moment this weekend.
At the White House, President Joe Biden reaffirms the U.S. commitment to Israel. War with the Palestinian group Hamas has so far killed around 2,000 people, including at least 14 Americans. A first shipment of U.S. munitions arrived in Israel late yesterday. The war has already displaced 200,000 people in Gaza, according to the UN. Some fled in fear or when their homes were destroyed by airstrikes, and civilian life there could become desperate with Israel blockading food, water, fuel, and electricity. Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu continues his pattern of harsh rhetoric and calls for retribution.
Though Israel didn't start this war, Israel will finish it. Once the Jewish people were stateless, once the Jewish people were defenseless, no longer, Hamas will understand that by attacking us, they've made a mistake of historic proportions.
Meanwhile, House members will start the formal process of deciding who'll be the next speaker today. But no one candidate has an obvious lead, and Bob Cusack with The Hill says infighting could extend the process over many days.
So, again, you had just a handful of Republicans, if they're holding out on whomever, whether it's Scalise or whether it's Jordan or McCarthy or somebody else. That's a distinct possibility.
In order to avoid another public struggle, the GOP caucus will start with votes behind closed doors. A candidate must have 211 votes to advance to the floor and have a majority of those voting to take the gavel. Molly Reynolds with the Brookings Institute says House Republicans would like to demonstrate the same level of unity Democrats have had backing Minority Leader Hakeem Jeffries.
We've reached a point where the divisions are serious enough in the House Republican Conference that we're seeing this push from some members to try and really bind their colleagues to whoever gets picked behind closed doors when that vote actually comes on the floor.
New York Congressman George Santos is facing new charges of stealing identities and credit card details of his campaign donors. The new charges were made in a 23-count superseding indictment with 10 additional charges being filed against him. Santos was originally indicted on 13 charges of financial crimes in May. Wisconsin is embroiled in a sharply partisan redistricting fight over what experts say are some of the most gerrymandered maps in the country. Republicans in the legislature are pushing a plan to have an independent panel draw the new districts, arguing that would be fair. But Yuseli Flores of the Wisconsin Fair Maps Coalition says a loophole in the plan would let the legislature break all ties, which she says could mean Republicans would still control the process.
And it just seems like a huge power grab that could permanently change the process for how we draw our state maps. And it just feels like it's going to be detrimental to our communities.
I'm Edwin J. Vieira for Pacifica Network and Public News Service. Find our trust indicators at publicnewsservice.org.
You're listening to the American Democracy Minute, keeping your government by and for the people. We reported yesterday that a federal appeals court chose a fairer congressional redistricting map in Alabama, giving black voters a better shot at electing the candidates of their choice. Other states also have racial gerrymandering cases pending, but it's unclear whether the resolution in Alabama will translate to fairness in Louisiana and South Carolina. Louisiana's African-American population is even larger than Alabama's at 33%, yet it has only one congressional majority-minority district out of six, 16.6%. In late September, two conservative U.S. Fifth Circuit Court of Appeals judges blocked further action on new fair maps. Democracy advocates immediately asked the U.S. Supreme Court for an emergency stay, but it's unclear whether Justice Samuel Alito, in charge of emergency stays, will grant that request or pass it on to the full court, where Justice Brett Kavanaugh could reconsider his Milligan position. October 11th, oral arguments in a South Carolina case will be heard in the U.S. Supreme Court, raising even more concerns. The South Carolina legislature argues its congressional map is partisan gerrymandering, not racial gerrymandering. In 2019, the High Court deemed partisan gerrymandering to be a state, not federal issue. If the court decides it was done for partisan reasons, it may greenlight more dilution of black voting power by state legislatures, just cloaked as partisan gerrymandering. We have more at AmericanDemocracyMinute.org. I'm Brian Beal.
And we're going to launch right into our first interview. Thank you for joining us. It is a very somber day in so many ways. We have a guest right here on the line. Pepper, you are with us. Welcome to the Monday afternoon show. And I want to say congratulations in advance, I believe, of you beginning a new radio show or a segment, rather. Why don't you tell us all about how'd you find WGXC and what will you be doing here on the air?
All right. Yeah, thanks for having me on. Well, I'm a listener, so I listen to WGXC, and I like to listen to radio shows and podcasts about food. And so I thought, you know, WGXC could use a little food. I'm trying to think of a word besides content, but, you know, some more like food talk, because there's so much food in the Hudson Valley and so many restaurants, farms, and like food producers and people in the service industry. So that's what food segment is going to be about.
Okay. Do you have a title for your food segment?
It's called Food Segment.
That's what Food Segment is about. That's actually the name of it. Food
the
segment.
Name of the segment is called Food Segment. Yeah. And then so each segment will be different. And yeah, and so like the unifying theme is that I'll go and try food at either different restaurants or markets or farm stands around town.
Do so like a food taster, and then you come back to the radio and do a food segment on it called Food Segment.
Exactly.
Awesome. This sounds great. I used to do a show when I first started with WGXC called The Ag Show, and it was all things farming and green in Columbia counties. And it was food related, obviously, but it was mostly about the growing of food. It sounds like you're more on the plate end of the food system in places like the farmers market and restaurants, like you mentioned. Is that right?
That's right. Yeah. With all due respect to the producers who grow the food.
Well, I'm sure you have like you just mentioned, a respect and a healthy awareness of where our food comes from. That's what's so cool about living in our area here in Green and Columbia counties in the Hudson Valley, just the history, the rich history of agriculture and food production that's all among us. I think it's kind of, that's partly why there's so many really cool restaurants, right?
Yeah, I mean, I feel lucky to live in the Hudson Valley for that reason. In many ways, it's one of the best places to live if you're into eating like fresh and local food. So.
Yep. Yep. Yeah. And do you have a particular, how did you get into food? Do you have a particular angle or particular, is it like farm to table is what you're most, is it dessert, chocolatey, sweet stuff? What's your favorite sort of mini world within the food world, if that makes any sense?
Totally. Well, I should reveal that I've worked in the service industry for a while now, like as a food maker or a cook or chef. And so I've always been really interested in food and learning how to cook it and serve it. But I think my whole life, I've always been really kind of obsessed with restaurants. And I'm not sure if there's like a specific type of food that I'm fixated on, but I'm definitely like sort of fixated on restaurants and like the way that they make people feel and like the way like a restaurant space can be sort of like transformative or of course like the experience of actually eating delicious food can be a really transformative experience. But yeah, I think more, I just like the experience of going into a new restaurant and like checking something out and being able to, like, it's almost like going on a little mini vacation. That's how I feel about
Yeah, it's like a whole experience. And I don't know what it is. I didn't go out to eat a lot at all as a child. It was like a very rare and special occasion where we'd stop at Friendly's on a road trip or something. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Back when the smoking section was across the aisle.
Yeah.
It was a long time ago, Tepper. Anyways, but in my adulthood, I just absolutely love going out to eat, whether it's diners or high-end restaurants or bars with bar food, whatever it is. There's something so communal and primal about having food prepared for you also. And I'm one of those people that really tries to tip well. Even if the wait staff was horrible, having a bad day, they messed a bunch of things up, these people rely on your tipping for their income.
Absolutely.
And so a bare minimum 20% and upwards from there, in my opinion, as just as a respect for being in that industry. I was in it briefly. Well, my first job was a dishwasher when I was 14. But then recently I was a bartender over here at Baba Louie's, not the one in Hudson, but the one in Great Barrington, the original one.
Oh, I'm familiar. Yes.
I love Baba Louie's. Great family, hardworking family that keeps that thing going. And yeah. So I got a little taste of on the other side of the bar and what it's like. And let me just say, Tepper, it's my respect goes to anyone who serves in the food industry.
Yeah, it's not easy.
Yeah. So you'll be going out to restaurants and stuff like that. And how does that translate into an audio segment? Will you be actually doing any digital recordings on site, or you'll be more reporting about what you experienced?
Yeah. One is done. And, the first one was about salad. And so I visited two different restaurants and I do record while I'm there, and I try sometimes to get some of the audio just from like my interaction with the folks who work at the place. Like, I think I will ask them questions, but not in like an interview style, just in the style of like being a patron. But it'll be kind of non-traditional. Like, it'll be sort of a narrative where I'll talk about like my experience, and then interspersed there will be clips of the actual experience that'll be pre-recorded.
Nice. This sounds so exciting. I wish I had more of the bandwidth to do some of the recordings, pre-recorded stuff. And it sounds like going to be more polished product that you're going to be sharing with us with food segment. I'm really excited. Can't wait to hear it. What is your geographical location looking like?
Well, I live in Hudson, but I think the like parameters of the segment is going to be the actual like the broadcast area of WGXC. So Okay. Anywhere WGXC, anywhere you can listen to WGXC, that's where I will be able to dine.
You might have to slip over here across the border to Berkshire County, Tepper.
Definitely.
Don't rule us out, because I can hear this station in my truck almost everywhere where I work in Berkshire County, except if I go east out over to Monterey and Sandusfield and stuff. But if I go to Pittsfield, Lenox, West Stockbridge, Sheffield, and Great Barrington, GXC's coming in on my truck. And we've got a lot of restaurants over here, so don't be afraid to come give us a taste over here.
I'll be over there, definitely.
Nice. Yeah, it's exciting. It's great to see the evolution of restaurants in a geographical area also. I mean, I remember back when I got out of college last century, Hudson had one place we'd go called Mama Rosa's Pizza. And it was like the best pizza place, like down home. And of course, down where Farmer and Sons is right now is Moxie's. And Moxie's had been in that family for over 75 years, three generations of Italians cranking out food. Moxie's mom, Mark's still around. I think he was working at Swoon, but he's definitely around town causing trouble. He's got a restaurant. What's the one on Warren Street? Is it like it's the street number? It's like 235 Warren or something.
221, I think. Warren.
Yes, thank you. So that's Moxie's family. His daughter owns and operates that. But anyways, just going to the history of like where Moxie's mom was in the back, you could see her just cranking out these giant Italian pasta dishes and antipasta and like, you know, all just old generations of Hudson families going to this place back in the day. It's just like, I wish I had some kind of documentation for those experiences because they're pretty special.
No, that's incredible. I mean, I'm fascinated by people that have lived in Hudson longer than I have. And there's so many restaurants that, you know, have existed that no longer do that. It's just, it's incredible to hear the stories of restaurants that have, you know, been in the town where we live that are no longer there, but it's like there's a rich history of people that have been involved in those projects, you know?
Absolutely. Absolutely. And so I'd be curious to see how you mix the audio in. Like, will you actually go into like a kitchen with a recorder and like, maybe are you going to interview some chefs too?
I think that's it's tricky. Possible.
I bet it is. Yeah. I mean, if you could, you would, I bet.
Yeah. I mean, I actually spoke with, I was at a pizza place. I won't spoil the new, segment, but, I was at a pizza place and the, you know, pizza chef was like right there. So I actually got some audio just talking to him about like his experience and where he like learned how to make pizza. So I think definitely the kitchen will, I hope to get some people in kitchens talking on the segment for sure. Yeah.
Awesome. Tepper, you got to get the backstage access for sure.
Yeah.
Nitty gritty back there, but pizza, you could do a whole segment on pizza.
There's so much to talk about.
Yep.
When you want to start talking about food, there's just almost no end.
Absolutely. And then we have the whole other end of the spectrum, which is food insecurity. I had a really wonderful guest, Neva Wartell, really great person who has done a lot of volunteer work at the radio station. But she's been working with the local food pantries in Catskill. And just to hear this experience, you know, we're talking about food and then also just a whole nother side of it and people who are struggling and how the food distribution happens on that level in the church basements and stuff. It's also, that's a whole nother topic there. So I was fascinated to hear her experiences from that just a few weeks ago.
I'd love to hear that.
Yep. So it's on there. It's on the archives. Neva Wartell doing the good work. Will you be going across the river? I'm assuming to Greene County, check out some of those places.
I mean, I absolutely, and I'm going to try to go to places that I haven't ever been. Like, that's my goal, is to mostly just visit places that I've never been to. So I think Greene County is rich with places that I haven't been to, but I don't want it to be just about like restaurants in Hudson proper. I kind of want to focus on areas that are not where I live. So
cool. Yeah. Cool. Yeah. Well, just last week I was talking to Lauren from Joust Juice over in Catskill.
Oh yeah.
And I think apparently the Thai food place is still there on Main Street. So
it is. Wasana.
What's that?
It's called Wasana.
Have you been there?
Yeah.
No way. I think the last time I went there, I think they had plastic cutlery. We were the only people in there. And I just love going to places like that where I don't know why I'm thinking, but it was like so like different and kind of quirky, but like just so genuinely like these people wanted to just, you know, have you have a great dinner and serve good food. And they were just great folks. And, you know, I definitely enjoyed the food.
Yeah, there's a great ambiance. And they have a really nice fish tank there, too, I remember.
Yes. Yeah. Awesome. So glad to hear Wasana. That's the name. Okay, Wasana is still there. So you have your work cut out for you, Tepper.
I do.
You do. I wish you the absolute best of luck in your endeavors. I'm sure everyone listening is excited too, because like, who doesn't have some relationship to food, right?
Exactly.
All right. Any parting thoughts or anything?
No. I mean, thanks so much for having me on, and I hope, yeah, I hope that I can do a service to all of the wonderful food makers around us on the segment. So
absolutely. The segment is called Food Segment. And one of the most important things I did not get to, which is, when can we hear your segment? Is it scheduled yet?
Oh, that's a great question. I think it's going to be on the morning show on Mondays.
Okay. So Mondays. And then, you know what, it's going to be interspersed throughout today, most likely, knowing Tom Rowe and the good folks at WGXC are able with great little segments like that, we can play them at certain times, and maybe I'd be able to even play some of it on the afternoon show or a whole segment. How long are the segments? That's another question.
They're going to be around 10 minutes, but hopefully I'll be able to get a couple 15-minute ones in there if I have to.
Okay, Tepper. So that sounds like excellent Monday afternoon show material, if that all works out for everyone as well. And we'll just go from there. So Tepper, congratulations on getting this thing kicked off. When is the first broadcast?
The first one already aired, so you can listen to it on the archives.
Well, there you go. Was it this morning or last week?
I think it was last week, last Monday. Okay. Yeah.
Okay. So food segment, Monday morning shows, and elsewhere. But literally, you could probably go to the WGXC, go to archives, and put in food segment, and all your material as it accumulates will probably pop right up there. It shouldn't be too hard to find, right?
I hope not.
So Las Brujas Bilingües, the show. Hi. So who's called? Hola, ¿cómo está? Oh, not too bad. Bien, thank you. This is must be Gloria and Ariel calling on the backup phone here because we were having a little bit of trouble with the lines. Thank you for being so patient. Sorry about the glitch, and thank you to all the listeners also for the patience. But I'm so glad you found me. If we get disconnected, I will call this number right back from a secure line from a not-so-secure location.
Sounds good.
Awesome. So Gloria and Ariel, I've been talking a little bit about your show, but I didn't want to spoil. I want to let you launch right into it. Las Brujas Bilingües. Is that the way you say it?
Hey, Las Brujas Bilingües. You can do a little bit of
Las Brujas. It's a J. And in some like dialects of Spanish, it's funny how the J and the G, actually it's a G. It's not a, oh, a J. How J, H and other sounds are all like interestingly interchangeable, and I just love it. Yeah. I love it. It's such a beautiful language. All right, so talk to me. Tell me, folks, Ariel and Gloria, welcome again to the Monday afternoon show. Your show, which, when does it start airing? Has it aired already? And where did you get the idea? And tell us a little bit about it.
We're actually recording our 10th show either tomorrow or Wednesday. So that's been exciting. It went by kind of fast. And our show comes on Monday mornings after the Better Weather Report, kind of around like 9:15 a.m. Mondays.
So this, you've already aired 9 times.
Correct.
So this goes to show how out of the loop the Monday afternoon show host Kieran can be, because I have not heard your show yet. I can't believe it. I'm so sorry.
That's okay. I think they replay it sometimes on the Wednesday afternoon show, but you can also listen to the archive.
That's right. We do have the handy archives. You can go right to WGXC.org, go to the archives, and can probably just put in Las Brujas Bilingües, Brujas. And
I'm really excited. If you go Las Brujas Bilingües, it comes up.
you guys are just like Googleable.
We're Googleable.
That's easy for me to say. Excellent. Talk about your show a little bit. Do you want me to read a little bit from the description, or do you want to read from the description? I mean, I love this description.
Yeah, you can read it.
Okay. All right.
Remind us.
Okay. Mondays during the WGXC morning show around 9 a.m. Wednesday afternoon between 4 and 6, you can catch this. Ariel and Gloria are two crazy witches. Ariel doesn't have a head, and Gloria does not have a heart. But with four ears between them, they are able to work their witchcraft to bring you music that lifts you up and flies you home. And in perfect Spanglish, Ariel and Gloria listen to and discuss each other's favorite songs and singers, take requests from callers, give advice, and even cast a spell or two. You don't need a car. You don't need a taxi or an Uber. You don't even need a broomstick. Just open your ears and let Las Brujas Bilingües in. There you have it. This is awesome. How has it been so far? How do you like doing it?
We have a lot of fun.
Oh, yes.
It's been really fun.
Uh-huh.
And it's, I mean, we work together in real life also, and we talk a lot about music and just kind of joke around a lot, and then kind of had this, it turned into a radio show, but we weren't really talking to anyone. It was just ourselves keeping busy, but then we turned it, we're Estamos Brujas, and we worked a little magic, and we actually turned it into a radio show. So then, yeah, now we get to play songs for everyone else, and joke around, and hear from listeners, and it's been awesome.
Yeah, and we have a lot of Spanish-speaking listeners in our area, don't we?
And I think we're gaining more because Gloria is like our PR person.
Nice.
Major
So, Gloria, you're getting the word out there on the street for people to tune in, right?
Oh, yes.
Nice.
Todos, sí. Todos.
That is so great. I love, I got some good friends of mine, some coworkers of mine. I remember I was going on the air. He called me, my friend Abraham called me while I was on the air. He said, Abraham, I can't take this call right now, but do you have any? He's from Oaxaca. And he gave me a Oaxacan song. I said, you have a request. So I played it right there, right then and there. I played him a song. On the air. It's the beauty of community radio. We can do so much. And you folks have picked a pretty cool theme here. So how, if you don't mind telling me, how did you come up with the name Las Brujas for your show?
Yeah. Well, I think we also, Estamos Bilingües. Kind of talk. We're bilingual. We're talking in Spanish. We're talking in English, mm-hmm. whatever. And I think we like the alliteration. Y también, we do. I mean, we talk a little bit about witchy stuff. We both really like to garden and cook and kind of play little tricks on each other in games. And it felt like calling ourselves Brujas was a little fitting.
It's a great name. I just it's funny because I have played this song. I hope you don't mind, but I introduced the show with two songs, not just one. One by Rosie Arango called La Bruja, and one by Lila Downs called La Bruja. And
we heard some of it. yeah, we need a pizza playlist.
Uh-huh. Yeah, it's just amazing how many songs are out there about Las Brujas.
We're everywhere.
It's awesome. No, it's definitely awesome. There's even a rap song I found about a guy talking about his partner, and he's very proud to have a Bruja as a partner. Great rap song. Great. So yeah, the Rosy Arango, I had found that and played it on my show a long time ago, maybe about a year ago. And what struck me was the video and just this beautiful imagery involving like the skeleton. I feel like particularly like maybe in the Mexican culture, like we have Day of the Dead coming out, that Dia de los Muertos coming up at the end of the month, right? And just this different relationship to the afterlife, to the supernatural, to the dead, and then the skeleton, the imagery of the body paint as the skeleton of in the female dancing form. It was just like, wow, that is a cool video. And just it just we don't really have a lot of that. I'm kind of rambling now, but in our like kind of stodgy American culture, our relationship to death in particular and the supernatural is not always the most healthy. So I hope you don't mind. I played that song and just maybe could you talk about a little bit about the songs that you pick and where you get them?
Each episode we kind of try to have a theme and we say we're like dedicating the segment to someone or something. And it's kind of totally random, but then we find songs that kind of relate to that theme. So one of them actually, like a few weeks ago, as we were joking about the letter G or G in Espanol, that like I was having trouble like pronouncing it. So yeah, it was kind of like a Sesame Street. We dedicated the episode to the letter G. And so we played that Laura Branigan song Gloria, because Gloria's name starts with a with a G, and it's called G. And I can't remember what other song. Then this past week it was an episode on house guests and how long they should stay and what's overstaying your welcome. And there's a song from El Gran Combo de Puerto Rico that's called No Hay Cama Pa Tanta Gente, that there's not enough beds for all these people. Oh yeah, we did one on indecision, and there's that famous song, Perhaps, 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 and there's a lot of Spanish covers, También, Que Se Llama Quizás, 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 so that was fun. It's whatever the stars and the moon are telling us, you know, we gotta listen.
That's so wonderful. Oh, isn't it fun?
It's so fun.
Yeah. And are you folks based, are you living based in Columbia County, close by?
Yo estoy in Greene County.
Okay.
Florida and Columbia.
Sí, aquí en Stuyvesant.
Oh, yeah. I know Stuyvesant. Yeah. Pedro, named after Pedro Stuyvesant. I don't know much about him, but yeah, it's beautiful up there, right on the river. Yeah. Great. Excellent. Well, we're coming up on the 5 o'clock hour, and I'm wondering if you're covering a lot of other stuff. You get your welcome callers, call-ins, you do funny stories, like you're talking about themes and stuff like that, and anything else like you want to share with folks about that they can call in, of course. It sounds like
it's really fun when people call in and leave messages. Well, like, because we really like discovering new music and hearing new music, so having people share their favorites or what they want to dedicate, as you know, who they want to dedicate a song to is fun. We're also trying to get people to leave us secrets.
Oh, that's why,
because we're kind of nosy and gossipy. So I want to hear people's secrets and advice. And
yeah,
that hasn't happened yet, but
you could be like a Bruja confessional.